We are in, let's see, Councils for the Church, page 309, paragraph 1. And it says, institutions to be established. Now, this is in the infancy of the church. We are the remnant of her seed. And as far as I can see, what the Lord is having us do is not so much about building brick and mortar, because we don't have that much time left. And it's just like with that dream you gave me many years ago. It wasn't so much in regards to the brick and mortar. It was sticking your face through the brick and mortar, you know, going to people's homes and sharing the truth with them. Little home churches all over the world is more or less what it was. Electronically, though. It's like 30, 40 years ago. No, I was a Christian. Yeah, I was a Sunday keeper, but, you know, it had to be around 30 years, because I left the Catholic Church 33 years ago. But so we have a duty. It's obvious what we're doing. It's part of the loud cry. And so when we look at this, the institutions having to be established, we can do this, but it's going to have to be on a very, not so much a limited basis, but home-by-home kind of basis, you know, like to where, like what Brother Warren's doing in his area. He helps the people with the cancer, and then we got what Craig does out there in the Philippines. Out there, you literally need brick and mortar, because they're still third world countries, and it's a lot cheaper to build brick and mortar there too. And so, but here in the States, it's not advisable, because once that ladder rain falls, you know, and we're so scattered, it really wouldn't work out well. I mean, sure, we can go into little towns and stuff like that, and I was even thinking about doing this, just going door to door with a flyer, with a list of, you know, prophetic facts, along with the Bible verses to back every one of them up that I know is even in the NIV, because a lot of people out here use the NIV, and show them, does your church teach this, 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 and this, and if not, would you like to take part in a Bible study on a weekly basis that does discuss such things? And if we do that door-to-door in a small town near here, I wonder how many people out in that town would join us, because there's not a lot of Christians in the world today, even though they all call themselves Christians. We all know what Isaiah chapter 4:1 was talking about when you start looking at the way people act. But still, institutions to be established, like she's saying here, was in the infancy of the church when it needed these things, because, well, it's obvious when you see what she has to say here, but she goes on to say that there are many places that need gospel medical missionary work, and their small plants should be established. God designs that our sanitariums shall be a means of reaching high and low, rich and poor, because it's just like the Lord isn't a respecter of persons, neither is disease. And so there's a lot of people out there, it doesn't matter how many dollars you got in your pocket or how many dollars you don't have in your pocket, you can still get, you know, sick. And especially in today's world, this helps out. And again, with the institutions being established in her day, it worked out well, because before the enemy of souls decided to use the inflation thing and change our economy from gold-based to debt-based, it became a lot more difficult to set up institutions. It's kind of like what they did with the oil industry. Instead of letting the people use, you know, like the oceans, you can literally run a car on oceans. Salt water is what works well in a hydrogen generator. I found it out hands-on just by building myself a hydrogen generator when the gas prices went over $4 in our area many years ago. And instead of getting 15 miles to the gallon, I got 30 with a van, because I had a small hydrogen generator that I built the size of a football. And, you know, just PVC pipe. That's all room I had under the hood, because you know how the vans are. And so, but you can't regulate that because there's just too much ocean. Or marijuana, for that matter. Hemp oil was the original means by which Henry Ford's Model T ran. It ran on hemp oil. It didn't need gasoline. But you couldn't regulate that. Anybody you know, that had a farm with a couple of thousand acres or a couple of hundred acres, let's say, you could run your cars or even sell hemp oil and, you know, make a killing in the market. And so they decided to make it to where it was impossible for the common man to be able to, you know, get the fuel necessary for the vehicles he invents, let's say. Because you have to be pretty wealthy just to build an oil derrick. You know, you got to have tens of thousands, even in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, you had to have tens of thousands of dollars just to put one of those things up. Common man ain't get, especially in the crash, you ain't going to get them things up. And so, but a common man could grow marijuana in his backyard or just, you know, use any kind of oil to run your car. Well, it's the same thing with the debt base. When they did that, when they crashed the market on purpose and came in there with the that private industry that they call the Federal Reserve. It's not even government-based. Some men own that. And so our economy went from being based on the gold, on the real value, to being based on debt, which allowed them to inflate it. And so now you can't afford to buy a car outright. You got to go on payments. You can't afford to build a house outright. You got to go on a mortgage. Well, same thing with a sanitarium. You're not going to come up with the money to be able to build that sanitarium today unless you have, well, in today's world, you would probably have to have over $1 million, let's say, to build something like that. And if you got that kind of money, you've been approached because now you're a threat. And so going on, it says they are to be so conducted, you know, the sanitariums, they are to be so conducted that that by their work, attention may be called to the message God has sent into the world. And this is why I've been praying for this for decades. And we've seen many healings in this church family over the years, even before we gathered together. Some of you have said things on Testimony Sabbath that you saw in the past and I've seen in the past where the Lord's hand has moved. But like I've been saying for decades, you can't throw a stone in any town, big, small, or even little villages out here without hitting somebody that's sick. And so you're going to have a constant influx of people that are going to be what you would call a captive audience because it's like they got to come to you because they know that you have the means by which to get them healed, be it spiritual or just natural methods, you know, whatever word of mouth comes out in that area. And so they're going to want to listen to what you have to say because they really don't have any choice anyway, right? And so they... This, I do believe, is going to be one. And I mean, just look at the way with the food additives and the chemtrails and all the crazy stuff, like with the Roundup. They're spraying that stuff all over the place. There's all sorts of ways that we can reach people now just by helping them get healthy. And that gets our foot in the door. She goes on to say that the ministry to the physical and the spiritual are to blend, leading the afflicted ones to trust in the power of the heavenly physician. Those who, while giving the proper treatments, will also pray for the healing grace of Christ. It will inspire faith in the minds of the patients. And that's another thing, too. A lot of people miss this, you know, because I know natural methods work. I've been using them, you know, even before I was a Christian. My dad was into the only unnatural thing that he had, and it was natural if you think about it in the 1960s, was penicillin, you know, the way it was made just by mold. But he had a lot of the natural things, and I remember when I would get a cold, and I was a smoker ever since the age of 9, and so he was able to get, but he didn't know about it, but when I got a cold, it would hold on 2-3 weeks. My dad would give me a literal handful of pills, and within 24 hours, that cold would be gone, and he knew about the natural, he never told me what he was, you know, I just trusted him, my dad, you know, he's not going to kill me. And so these things work, and I've always done this my whole life, but the main clue, or the main key here, rather, is praying. And especially if you're, like, with a patient, like someone that's sick, and you don't just tell them, oh, use a poultice, or you know, or use vitamin E, or use echinacea, or whatever the case be, you know, like colloidal silver and stuff like that. I always tell them point blank, but before you do any of this, you have to pray. You got to ask the Lord to bless this. It's just not going to, you know, because, you know, Jesus handled, he does natural methods all the way from the figs that he told Hezekiah the king to put on his leg to the blind guy where he mixed the spit with clay and put it on his eyes and told him to wash in the pool of Siloam, which means scent. And so natural methods is, you know, part of it. You know, sometimes he uses natural methods to heal. Sometimes it's just plain miraculous. It all depends on the person that's getting healed. So going on, it says, their own course will be an inspiration to those who supposed their cases to be hopeless. And see, that's another thing, too, like that Hoxley guy. And Brother Warren has seen this, too. With some of the people that are coming into the place for treatment are told by their doctors it's hopeless. Because I remember reading about Huxley years ago, or is it Huxley? It's either Huxley or I don't know if there's an L in his name. I just remember how when he came about, and I think it was in the 1940s or 50s or 60s. It was, you know, around my baby days, I think. And I think he's dead now, but his sanitarium is still where he moved it to. And he was in the United States of America, of course, and the AMA was getting upset because the AMA was telling people without letting them know, this is okay, you've got cancer, and now it's stage four, there's nothing we can do at this point, sorry. You know, in other words, if you read between the lines, all your insurance money ran out, and you're going to have to go. And they could care less. They just look at you as dollar signs, and they figure as much chemo as they can pump into you is how much money they're going to get out of you. And so that's what they do. And so they, when it gets down to it, they say, see ya, you know. And these people found out about Huxley or Huxley, and they were all healed. I'd say 99%. He says some of the people that weren't healed, they just kept dragging their feet, not realizing that, look, this stuff works. Well, the AMA found out about it, and they sued him, brought him into court. And, well, he won the case. You know, and I think it was three or four times where they sued him, and they kept losing. The AMA kept losing. Well, the fourth or fifth time, when they went to sue him again, he says, okay, I've had enough of this. You're going to lose again, and you know it, but you're just doing this to slow me down. I'm moving everything to Mexico. And that's what he did, because they will not allow it here in the United States of America, because here the people are looked at as, if you look at the way the debt is in this country, we are now the product. The humans. And so they're doing everything they can to pump as much money out of us as they can via their own insurance industries that they you know, build up and whatever. And so they're not about healing people, unless, of course, it's, you know, like a drastic accident and you need a surgeon to fix this or fix that. Well, that's different. Those guys, they know what they're doing. And even with the internal medicine that they use at the time, because you can leach that stuff out after you get out of the hospital, it's no big deal. I mean, even Sister White said you can use quinine. Is that what it was? I think it was quinine when people were getting malaria because it worked. But then after a while, as soon as you get rid of the danger, then you get that stuff out of your system. You can even get the vaccines out of your system. I got a page on the website about the dangers of the vaccine, the AMA insanity page. One of the links on the horror of vaccines, one of the links there, I think there's two of them, where it shows how to get the vaccinations, get those toxins out of your children's body, or your own body for that matter, and using natural methods. It's a slow process, but it does work. And in some cases, it even reverses autism, depending upon the age. And so, because the stuff, now that's the thing with natural methods, though, it is slow. And another thing, too, is I used to send out, I don't have any more of them. I wish I could find it. I used to have this DVD, it was called Healing Cancer from Within, and then Luke used to make me copies all the time because he had one of those setups upstairs. I don't know where it's at. It's in one of the boxes that we have here in the house that to duplicate the way he was duplicating things. And it was nothing but, I think it was like 2 hours long, but out of the 2 hours, it was 90 minutes worth of people just testifying about how they were told they had, 3 months to live, or they were stage four this or whatever. The doctors in that video proved that the cancer was a germ, I think. And I think Ellen White brings this up, too. I think she said it was an infection or a germ. I think Fran told me about this a while ago. I think it was an infection. It's just like an infection or a germ or something, or a bacteria. It's not what the AMA says it is. It is completely healable. The reason people pump a bunch of money into the cancer research is so they can figure out what they just figured out how to do about 5 years ago with one particular type of cancer, is allow the people to continue living with their cancer. You know, kind of like what they do with insulin. I mean, that's why they hate natural methods. Cancer is an infection. Thanks, Fran. So cancer, it's an infection. It's not really a disease. It's just an infection, which I guess you can call it a dis-ease. You know, it makes life not so easy. So it's a dis-ease. But they... Yeah. Okay. Anyway, in the video, they were showing how, especially like, let's say, someone walks in, and this is one of the things that I thought was amazing when the first doctor got on the screen. And he was saying something to the effect, he says, you know, when cancer finally rears its ugly head in your life, it was going to, it had to have taken anywhere from 7 to 10 years for it to get to the point you now realize it. In other words, you've had that cancer in your body already 7 to 10 years. And so when you go to a doctor, he says, oh, no, you got to get to this chemotherapy yesterday. You got to do it now, now. Look, it's taken 7 to 10 years to get to the point it's at now. I got time. Like, yeah, 7 to 10 years, I guess you can think before it can kill you, right? If you don't do something about it. And but they want to get to it quicker because of the money to be made, because that is big, big, multi-billionaire business, you know. And so I'm surprised that the AMA hasn't, well, I guess the way they split it up through the insurance companies and stuff like that, it's kind of like a misnomer. It's never going to get there because of the way they keep getting sued. But Apple just hit the $1 trillion mark in the stock market for a company, you know. Because I always thought the AMA would hit there first with the kind of the crazy money they make, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, she finishes here by saying that this is why our sanitariums were established, to give courage to the hopeless by uniting the prayer of faith with proper treatment and instruction in physical and spiritual right living. And this is something that, well, let me finish it. Through such ministrations, many are to be converted. Amen and amen. And the physicians in our sanitariums are to give the clear gospel message of soul healing. That you don't hear in AMA hospitals, right? Now, there are some Christian doctors that will, you know, do it this way, which is amazing, yeah. But the overwhelming majority, they are not. But the thing here is about the physical and spiritual right living, or even changing the diet kind of a thing. Like I was going to talk about a minute ago about in regards to insulin. Because what they're doing with cancer now, they saw how they did with insulin, and that's a multi, just insulin alone, just selling that is making them billions of dollars a year. But you can heal diabetes in anywhere from 4 days to like a week and a half just by going all raw for a while. It's kind of like rebooting your body, you know, like a computer reboot. It just reboots. And then and there was a guy, the Green Trucker. He does that some kind of, oh, man, I can't remember. It looks like grass, wheatgrass. Yeah, he juices wheatgrass. He does all this. Not only did he lose 200 and some odd pounds, his diabetes was gone, and all these other things were just gone. But they give you the insulin because they tell you that it's better than dying. And it is, because if they don't tell you that if you just go all raw, you won't die. They just tell you, if you don't take this insulin, you will die. And so people fall for it because they're wearing white coats, and they trust them. So anyway, going on here, this next section is here, the pioneer work of the gospel. If we would elevate the moral standard in any country where we may be called to go, we must begin by correcting their physical habits. Oh, yeah, and that's the thing I wanted to point out, too. I've known, let's say it's 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 4 people. One of them was a brother-in-law of mine, well, brother of a brother-in-law of mine that died a few years ago from cancer. And I told him, I says, look, you don't have to die. But he's one of those guys that had, you know, no faith in his, no Christianity influence in his life whatsoever. The only influence he had is when he found out I became a Christian. Him and I used to work together. And I told him about all the people that were getting healed by the natural methods. He just blew it off, just like the other 3 people that I told about, and they all died. They just died. Why will you die? It's just like what the Lord's saying in the Old Testament. Why will you die? When it comes to the spiritual end of things, of course, obviously, in eternal hellfire. But anyway, it goes on. Medical missionary work brings to humanity the gospel of release from suffering. It is the pioneer work of the gospel. It is the gospel practiced, the compassion of Christ revealed. Of this work, there is great need, and the world is open for it. Because like I said earlier, you can't throw a stone in some towns without hitting, without any town without hitting somebody that's sick. And it says, God grant that the importance of medical missionary work shall be understood, and that new fields may be immediately entered. Then will the work of the ministry be after the Lord's order. The sick will be healed, and poor, suffering humanity will be blessed. You will meet, with much prejudice, a great deal of false zeal, and miscalled piety, but in both the home and the foreign field, you will find more hearts that God has been preparing for the seed of truth than you would imagine. And they will hail with joy the divine message when it is presented to them. In other words, you can't read a book by its cover. You can never judge a book by its cover. You know, and so I don't know how many times I've seen it on the street. You know, you don't think that guy or that girl's going to listen, and they're the ones that are brought to tears by the truth. So you really don't know. You don't know who's seeking. No one would have guessed it when I was. Yeah, because I was a nutcase. And so no one thought in any way that, you know, like he would have anything to do with Christianity, you know. She goes on to say that the medical missionary work has never been presented to me in any other way than as bearing the same relation to the work as a whole as the arm does to the body. The gospel ministry is an organization for the proclamation of the truth and the carrying forward of the work for sick and well. This is the body. The medical missionary work is the arm. And Christ is the head over all. Thus, the matter has been presented to me. Begin to do medical missionary work with the conveniences which you have at hand. You will find that thus the way will open for you to hold Bible readings. The Heavenly Father will place you in connection with those who need to know how to treat their sick ones. Put into practice what you know regarding the treatment of disease. Thus suffering will be relieved, and you will have the opportunity to break the bread of life to starving souls. So I think this is something we as a church family really have to get a little bit more involved in, if you will. Because this is, like I said, I've been praying about all along. I mean, I understand the gifts of the Spirit, and the biggest, the best gift, of course, is the gift of prophecy, to understand it. But there's something to be said about seeing a little girl or a little boy who the doctors are saying is going to die, and the crying mother next to the bed, and you walk up and you could share something with her that gets that little kid off that deathbed. It's something, you know, and what you're sharing, of course, is Christ Jesus. You know, this is why you see a lot of ministers in hospitals. And what amazes me now, it's getting thinner and thinner. You know, sometimes they're asking for credentials and 501c3, this or that. And I remember a couple of times, like with prisons, you know, I've approached this, even the one that's out here in the next county over. I knew a guy that Satan has guided before he, you know, really went nuts. He had some issues where he was behind bars a few times. And so I went and visited him and ministered to him because his life was changing. The Lord's hand was obvious. I mean, the Lord showed his hand to this guy in ways that shocked even me. And I thought, wow, he's really reaching out to you, and which amazed me how a couple, 3 years later, he decided, he'll prefer his old lifestyle. I mean, he didn't go back to Satanism, but he certainly didn't stay with Christianity. And so that's sad. But the thing is he approached the warden, I approached the warden. They didn't want nothing to do with, no, we don't need any preachers here. We just stick a cassette tape in the VCR. They're still using the VCR. They got some old cassette tapes from a preacher from back in the 70s or 80s, and that's what they show the guys that are in jail on Sunday. I says, what about some, like, well, it's a county jail, okay? So you're not going to, I mean, the revolving door is obvious. You're not going to get a lot of time with these guys. You know, it's not really a captive audience, because even if it was, let's say they get, you know, half the guys are going to get off, the other guys are going to just go, you know, up the river. They're just going to end up in Statesville or something. Well, let's say it's Indiana. Yeah, it's probably Statesville, because that's still pretty close by. They don't go by, I mean, they do extradite, but they're still going to go to the closest prison, and that would be Joliet, which is Statesville, as far as I know. And so, but going to Statesville is different. You know, Pastor Rush used to go there. I never had the opportunity to go with him, and I always wanted to, but, because I knew guys in there. Like this kid I grew up with, he's still in there. He's in there for life. And it would have been nice to be able to go in there and share Christ with them, because they will listen. I mean, it just, even if it just gets rid of the monotony, it's a foot in the door. It doesn't matter, because after a while, it's no longer monotonous. It's no longer them being concerned with getting rid of the boredom, that, you know. They want to hear the truth, if you will. So let's get into another one here and let's see if I can get through this. Oh, yeah. We got 15 minutes left. I think we can do it. This one says, a work in which all are to unite. And seriously, I would like to, you know, some of the brothers and sisters to pray on this, too, in regards to this medical missionary thing, too, because some of us are already doing the work. Fran and I have seen things happen over the years. Brother Warren does what he does, and it's amazing to see how the Lord's moving, you know, in his hand among us. And so, but I think we got to get a little bit more structured, if you will, to where we can set things up. To where, even if it's just a place we could send people to, I've got a motorhome. If I have to, I could drive to people's homes. You know, in winter, let's just hope it's a little south of here, because the motorhome I have is definitely not winterized. If you take the trim off the edges of the walls, you could see the street. I kid you not. I just found it out by mistake a couple of years ago when I was at a campground, and I saw daylight coming up from where the toilet is, you know, like when you walk into that little tiny room. But yeah, we can just go about, or someone else in the church family, if they are called to go out and about, you know, just take the motor home. That way you don't have to worry about, as long as you're a good driver, and you don't have to worry about, you know, hotels with the bed bugs and all that stuff. Anyway, ministers of the gospel are to unite with the medical missionary work, which has ever been presented to me as the work which is to break down the prejudice which exists in our world against the truth. And that is a major door knocker. I mean, you can have an atheist, and there are records of this too, where atheists have come to know Christ because of a healing brought upon him. Or how about the one Jesuit that was, and I can't remember where I heard of it, but it was a true story in regards to a Jesuit that was dying and actually reached out to a Seventh-day Adventist. And this is probably like 100 years ago or something like that. And he was healed and converted, from what I understand, because of that. And so this is a major door knocker. It's a big old foot in the door where even the hinge is off kilter. So she says, a gospel minister will be twice as successful in his work if he understands how to treat disease. To take people right where they are, whatever their position, whatever their condition, and help them in every possible, in every way possible, this is gospel ministry. Yeah, amen to that, Brother Warren. This is gospel ministry. It may be necessary for ministers to go into the homes of the sick and say, I'm ready to help you, and I'll do the best I can. I am not a physician, but I am a minister, and I like to minister to the sick and afflicted. Now, check that out, even back then. Now, you could see the prophetic utterance in this woman's voice, because the AMA hadn't gotten to that power yet. Today, I mean, look at Dr. Schultz. This is some of the stuff that Fran likes to purchase, you know, and this guy's got the best when it comes to the natural method. He's a little mouthy, but he's, you know, but I guess he mocks the government. If you go to his website, he puts up this big, you know, like big red screen, you know, and these, it used to have like a buzzing noise saying, warning, warning, I am not a physician, you know, this is because he overdoes it because the AMA says you have to tell them you're not a real doctor, when in fact he is. They flip-flop the thing. The quacks are actually in the AMA, and the real doctors are the ones they call quacks. Except, of course, I don't say that in regards to like surgeons and whatnot. It's like these guys with the snake, like the chemo stuff and the experimental drugs. I mean, look what they do with the vaccines. They don't even test them anymore. They make the people the guinea pigs. And when they die, well, they figure the insurance can take it from there. Literally, people's lives have become dollar bills, and that's it. We really, really, really are in the end times when you think about how disgusting, how they prefer the dollar. I mean, like that video I did a while ago, like where you know, some of the kids have their parents euthanized. I mean, you know, doctor-assisted suicide just to save money. I mean, I would hang on every second to be with my mom or my dad, you know. But these kids, you know, like we could drag this out for another couple, 3 years. It'll be, you know, very expensive. All your inheritance and your insurance money will be drained. Yeah. They're more concerned about the money rather than hanging with grandma for a couple of more years. That is so sad. But like Jesus said, the love of many shall wax cold. It's not about love anymore. It's about the bottom line, you know. So she goes on to take people right where they are, whatever their position, whatever the condition, and help them in every way possible. This is, oh, I read all that. Okay. Let me see, the body is made sick. Yeah, okay. Those who are sick in body are nearly always sick in soul. All right? Nearly always, not always. You know, sometimes it's just a spanking from on high to get us to focus a little better on our walk. But some people, that's what gets them to their knees. Right? Or just looking at hard time behind bars, too. Any kind of scary situation in life, that you'd be surprised how that opens up a spiritual door where Jesus is knocking, and you literally grab that doorknob and fling it open and let him in. And it goes on and says, and when the soul is sick, the body is made sick. There is to be no division between the ministry and the medical work. The physician should labor equally with the minister and with as much earnestness and thoroughness for the salvation of the soul as well as for the restoration of the body. Some who do not see the advantage of educating the youth to be physicians both of the mind and of the body say that the tithe should not be used to support medical missionaries who devote their time to treating the sick. Now, that's full time, okay? That's, you know, you'd have to be a medical missionary is literally full time working for the Lord. She says, in response to such statement of disease, I am instructed to say that the mind must not become so narrowed down that it cannot take in the truth of the situation. A minister of the gospel who is also the medical missionary who can cure physical ailments is a much more efficient worker than one who cannot do this. His work as a minister of the gospel is much more complete. Amen. The Lord, you know, I'd love to do is like with this. I can't remember the guy's name. I always ordered, you know, those big fat books that have all those natural healings in them. I send them to people every now and then. That it says on the back it's $79.99 for one book. And I call this guy every now and then. I ask him, I says, okay, I need a case of those. And he goes, you know, they're like $80 a book. I says, yeah, I know. He says, all right, I said, look, I can only afford, I can only afford the one book. So if you could please send me the book, I gave him the $80. A week later, I got a box in the mail, a whole case of the books. He just sent me the whole case. He did that twice. And I would love to have, but these people got to be serious. You walk into a house that has sick people in it, but have no desire to, once they've been healed, to even bother walking with the Lord. They're going to go back out and party hard like that one guy did where he ended up dropping dead not long afterwards. No, you don't be handing these kind of books out because they ain't cheap. I mean, but the Holy Spirit will reveal to you who could use books like this, you know, where it gives them literally every way to heal whatever the situation is. I mean, that's why this book is so fat and so thick. He is SDA, but he is not SDA. It's the only thing I have an issue with what's going on there is he believes the way we do. He knows the SDA Church is in apostasy, but he won't outright and say it, you know, which is, you know, that's all, you know, some people just don't feel the need, I guess, but pray for him, you know, that's all you could do. But he might think he'd lose customers, but I don't think he would, to be honest with you, because he's doing a good work. The Lord's still going to bless it. You know, because people are going to bite up. Seriously, if you're dying, you're going to say, oh, I don't want to go get that guy's information. I don't care. I'll choke to death all the way to my grave. No, they're going to want to get healed. So it doesn't matter to them. But anyway, the Lord has declared that the educated physician will find entrance into our cities where other men cannot. Teach the message of health reform. This will have an influence with the people. The presenting of Bible principles by an intelligent physician will have great weight with many people. There is efficiency and power with one who can combine in his influence the work of a physician and of a gospel minister. His work commends itself to the good judgment of the people. And some of you young people that are in our church family, if you're looking for something to do in life, pray about this, because this might be something that the Lord would have you do, especially if you get, you know, a desire to learn and can contemplate something as in depth as this, because natural healings, is a lot, you're going to need a lot more intellect and intelligence, if you will, to be able to understand the natural methods down, I mean, to get them all down, than I would think an AMA doctor would. Because an AMA doctor, all they're going to do is they're going to specialize, unless it's a general practitioner. Those guys are a little safer. They from the cradle to the grave kind of doctor, you know, your family doctor back when, like Dr. McStutis when we were kids, that was the guy we had. General practitioner. He'd heal wound or he'd sew your arm back on, whatever the case may be, you know. And so he did it all. And he wasn't much, he was like my dad. He didn't much care for the drugs. He used a lot of natural things. And that's the way to go. And so it's just like with the one woman that was part of Yuchi Pines. She was both. She was a natural doctor and she had access to AMA. I don't know if she was an actual MD, but she did have access to MDs nearby if something went awry, you know, because their methods can be quicker, but at the same time, deadly. So you can't, there's a lot of side effects in the AMA and the way they do things, which is so sad. And they can't get around that because the way they keep refining things, every human is a different chemical puddle. It's not like we're all computers with certain motherboards where we know it's going to work this way and we know it's going to, no, man, there's so many different permutations in regards to how DNA is structured in each one of us. It's like a fingerprint. So you can't, none of us, there's no two one of us alike. I mean, the generalizations there, you have two eyes, two arms, two ears, the whole nine yards, you know, but they're not going to be able to figure out like, oh, this worked great on Sally. Let's see if it works on Bill. And it don't. It kills Bill, but it doesn't kill Sally, right? So, let's see. The people. Let me read here. It says, the Lord had declared that the educated physician will find the entrance. Okay, I already read that. So anyway, this next one here is the presenting of the Bible principles by an intelligent physician will have great weight with many people. There is efficiency. I think I read this too, but it bears repeating. There is efficiency and power with one who can combine in his influence the work of a physician and of a gospel minister. His work commends itself to the good judgment of the people. And you don't have to, because none of us, I'm not a theologian, so you don't have to be a theologian to be a gospel minister. You just got to have the truth and be able to relate it onto those in an effective manner. And if you got enough gray matter going on to where you could figure out natural methods, well, it really doesn't take that much if you think about it, because there's basic natural methods and then there's, advanced and then there's really advanced natural methods. And so you can go just about any direction there. Cancer is pretty easy, and that's kind of like the bulk of it out there. I would think cancer is pretty easy, like if you got colloidal silver and certain other things, or even colloidal gold, or colloidal copper. But silver seems to work pretty good, and I don't think it's that much necessary to go with the other metals. But finishing, she says that, and thus should our physicians labor. They are doing the Lord's work when the labor hit. When they labor as evangelists, giving instruction as to how the soul may be healed by the Lord Jesus. Every physician should know how to pray in faith for the sick, as well as to administer the proper treatment. At the same time, he should labor as one of God's ministers to teach repentance and conversion and the salvation of the soul and body. Such combination of labor would broaden his experience and greatly enlarge his influence. And see, this is where a lot of these doctors fail, even with the natural methods, like the naturopaths and the, what are the other ones? I can't remember the other ones. They won't pray with the people, and I've seen this even with Christian circles, where someone is using natural methods, they do get healed, but they were never brought into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ to realize he's the one behind their healings and how they got to focus a little better so that when they're totally healed and now they can live their life as God planned for them, that they don't go back into their sinful ways, but they will. And then for them to get a healing the second time, it's just not happening because now they're just mocking the Lord. It's just not going to happen. They might have to die just to get home to heaven or some very miraculous event or plan from on high would have to go down. Like, for example, let's say someone had to go through years and years of denying or mocking the Lord, if you will, to go through all these crazy experiences so that by the time the Lord decides to heal them, they're not only ready to be healed, they will have all those experiences under their belt to be able to help the others that the Lord's now going to send their way to help them get healed. And so, but again, you can never figure out how the Lord works until he actually, you know, the hindsight is 20/20 even here. You know, it's just like with John 14:29. A lot of times we don't understand the prophetic utterance until after it's fulfilled. Well, it's the same thing. We don't understand the trial until we're done with it. We don't understand why we went through it. And so same thing is going to hold true with how people get healed and why it could take one person a month to get healed, another person a decade. So hope and pray you were blessed. If you can kneel, it's finishing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us with your presence. Well, we gathered here tonight on Sabbath Eve, and the Sabbath is going to break here in a few moments, and we thank you for blessing us with this coming Sabbath. And give us good sleep for tonight for those of us on the Western Hemisphere and for those on the other side of the world that are listening in. Bless them in their Sabbath day. And they're going to be giving us good work to do this week after Sabbath ends, or even on Sabbath. Give us good things to do for you to glorify you. And thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, all the prayer requests that were mentioned in the room earlier. And everybody that's doing the work, thank you for that strong hedge of angels you have around each and every one of us. And we offer this prayer to you as we always do, in the name of your precious Son, our glorious King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.